I had the opportunity to hear him preach, and I really just appreciate him, appreciate his ministry, I appreciate his spirit. He's got a good spirit about him, and I just appreciate him being here, and I appreciate him coming. It was a long trip. How many hours, brother? About 10 hours, 12 hours, something like that. Yeah, long ways. And when he gets up here and he starts talking tonight, you're going to realize that he's not from around here. He's got that South Georgia accent, but I appreciate him being here tonight. And brother, come take your liberty. I appreciate you, my
brother. Thank God this man. Amen. All right. Sure good to be here. I mean, I'm glad that there's no one else like him. Amen. As our sister was singing, my wife, you already know I'm not from here now already, right? She was singing, my mind went to several years ago. I'd went to Guyana with my Uncle Roger Luke, and on a mission trip, and there's certain groups there that there's multiple religions that are strong, but there's a strong influence of Hindu religion there. And I don't remember who it was that had the conversation with somebody there as we walked about and talked to people. And they begin to talk to those that followed that Hindu religion. And, you know, they have, I don't know how many gods it is. They have just about anything they worship, just about anything. And so asking that, they maybe it's one of the group boys or the men that were there asked, is your God, has he ever talked back to you? And, you know, they have to confess. There's no other answer that can be given. But no. Amen. He's never talked back. And if something doesn't talk back to me, it's a waste of time to talk to something that can't talk back. Amen. And, you know, and I'm thankful that they don't even realize the reality of having a God that you can come have a conversation with. Amen. And I'm glad that I can talk to him just like I can talk to any of you. Amen. But what I feel even better about, that he'll talk to me. Amen. And I'm thankful there's nobody else like him. You know, if you've ever heard his voice, I feel most all of us tonight at some points heard that voice. It may not have been audible, but it was just as real as if it had been over a loudspeaker. Amen. That you didn't wonder, was that Dad calling my name or was that my wife? You knew. That's him. Amen. In Song of Solomon, there was no denying that is the voice of my beloved. Amen. There's nobody like him, and I'm thankful tonight. And we're from Georgia, and we're from way down in Georgia. We're almost out of Georgia. Amen. But we are thankful to be here. And man, it was a long ride. You pack six people in a box and drive 10 plus hours with several stops. It can be a journey. Amen. But we made it. And we're appreciative of this opportunity. All that's already been done. I don't know that I'll be able to preach good enough to give back what's already been given. And we really, really have looked out for us already. And we're very thankful for it. And we're just who we are. And I've never figured out how to do this. I've never been taught how to do it. I just get up here and hope that he helps me do it. And that's what I want to do tonight. Amen. I'm nothing, you know, I don't come knowing that I'm the man. I just want to come knowing I am a man. Amen. And I trust the Lord's going to help us tonight. So good to see a lot of friends. Man, I got a pile of friends that I've been in service with through the years. And so good to see you. And I don't really know who's home folk and who's visitors. So I'm just glad you came. And to be in service with us. I'll know if you don't come tomorrow night. Amen. Amen. But that being said, looking forward to being in service with our brother here, and Brother Austin preach. And just thank Pastor and the host and church. This is a great opportunity to be with God's people. We're in a new place. Amen. But I'm looking for the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. On behalf of my family, thank you for all you've done to make them comfortable in coming. You probably won't hear. They're shy. They're quiet, and so just understand that my children probably won't come up and ask you how you're doing. Amen. They're scared to death. Amen. Thank God. But a lot like their daddy is right now. So, amen. But I want the Lord to help us. Amen. Hey, one place I am comfortable, that's when he puts his hand on me. Amen. I think they said that Brother Kenny Morris was asked who his favorite preacher was. He said, when I'm under the anointing, I just soon hear myself as anybody. Yeah. Amen. Any of you preachers feel the same? Amen. When you're under the anointing, you wouldn't want to hear anybody else, would you? Amen. Let's get in here tonight. Want the Lord to help us? Amen. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want to feel the Lord, would we? Amen. I'd like the Lord to help us in this service tonight. Amen. Let's just get in and let the Lord help us. Amen. If you've never preached, you don't. Sometimes it's hard to get going. Nerves and everything run together. We're going to let the Lord help us tonight. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Thank God. It isn't hard to preach under the anointing. Sometimes the hard part's between getting off that pew and getting to that place. Amen. But I trust the Lord's going to help us in this service tonight. Amen. Let's go to verse 13, chapter 16. Verse 13 of chapter 16. Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, I've said this a lot, it ought not even be a question who you would think would answer. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me, on the ones who get back up. Amen. Some of you don't know where I'm headed because of who I'm preaching about. Amen. But that's all right. Just go with me. I want to preach that tonight, the ones who get back up. Amen. Now we read this tonight, and I know I'm guilty of it. I'll read a bunch of verses, turn around and go right back through and preach every one of them. Read them all over again if you're not careful. Amen. But looking at this tonight, where Christ had the disciples there, and you know all these that are around him, and he asked what seemed to be a real simple question, Pastor. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? In other words, it'd be no different than you going places that some of you are married to a boy that one time before you've asked to other of your friends, has he said anything about me? Have you heard him say anything about me? And some of you men, you wouldn't be, you're too prideful to admit it, but you'd ask some of her friends, do you think I've got a chance? You think if I asked her out, she would go, you know what you're doing, you're kind of filling out what other people think of you, and if maybe that what you would hope would happen, could it ever be a reality? And so as Christ began to ask, he would have liked for everybody to have said, for the disciples to have given the report, Christ, they all have confessed you're the Son of God. They've all admitted to the fact that you are the only begotten Son. You are the Messiah. But that being said, he got the report. Some of them think you're Elijah. Some of them think you're Jeremiah. Other divers, prophets, they're calling you all kind of people. And you know, you can see that when I'll be honest with you, Brother Irvin, it'd be great to walk out and somebody say, man, you remind me of Jeremiah. Amen. Or walk out and somebody say, you're as good as a preacher since I've heard since Elijah. That would have felt great unless you're Christ. Amen. That'd have been a wonderful compliment unless you're Jesus Christ. But then he looks at them, that inner circle, and you know, we could look at the world today. You could ask the world, you know, different questions, and they would give various answers. But what he really matters most to him is, It's when he looks at you and I and he asks us, who do you say that I, the Son of Man? Do you look at me the same way the world does? Do you look at me the same way as just the average man or woman walking up and down the street? Or do you look at me different than they do? Amen. And I'd love to know that for us tonight. Now this ain't really what I'm preaching, but I'm on the way. I'd like for us to be like Peter was. I'd like for it to be that I don't have to hesitate when I'm asked, who do I believe he is? I don't have to wonder, is this politically correct, the answer that I'm going to give? But I'd like to be like Peter, that at the moment of question, to let him know that thou art the Christ. There is no one else like you. There is nobody else that could ever take your place. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A powerful man made a powerful statement about the most powerful man. Because Christ makes the statement, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all power. And then he turns around where we read tonight and said, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. In other words, I've got all power and I give you access to every bit of that power. But I want to look at this statement that Peter makes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Only a man that's been with him, Brother Austin, that knows him more than just a blind eye opener. He knows him more than just somebody who could raise the dead with a word. He knows him more than somebody that could just look at pots of water and turn them into wine. But he knows him behind the scenes. And he knows him in a manner that most of the world, how in the world could you ever declare him as who he really is, except you know him for who he really is? Amen. A lot of that world out there, they know him as a band-aid in the time of need. They know him as a get-by in the time of trouble. But I know him as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know him as somebody that in the dark hours of night, when I don't really need a band-aid, I just need him to stand by me. I don't need him to just get me out of a bind to go back to where I was. I need him to stand by me when I don't have anybody else there. I've known him that way. And I know him that way. I've known of him to be great for others. But oh, the desire that I may know him to be big in my heart, to be big in my mind, to be big in my life. But Peter says, you're him. I recognize that thou art the Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I know a lot of times Peter gets looked at. We're going there. And he gets labeled because of the mistake that he made. Hey, if you know that, you know, Peter made some blunders all along the way. But one thing that Peter never denied, except till he got in a bind and we're headed there, he always was quick to let the Lord know, I'll be there when nobody else was there. You say, but how could he have lied to Christ? I don't believe he lied to him. I believe in his heart he really meant what he said when he said it. He just didn't realize, I don't got the power to be who I think I want to be. But he says, thou art the Christ. But that same man, not just 10 chapters later, a great man, a chosen man, handpicked by the Christ. Not just somebody that put his name on the ballot and said, I'm running for office to run with the greatest man that's ever walked the planet. But a man that walked by his road and said, follow me. He's handpicked by Jesus Christ. He didn't have to go through a resume. He didn't have to go through some type of process or through some, I guess you would say, organization. Heaven knew that's a great man. Heaven knew that's a man worth investing in. And Christ said, follow me. I feel I stand among those tonight who Christ has said, follow me. Who Christ has deemed as somebody he can trust in. Somebody he can depend on. You say, I'm not a preacher tonight here. Pastor, evangelist, I'm evangelist tonight. I'll be a pastor when I get back home. Amen. But this is what I do know. I believe every one of us has been picked for this hour. I believe every one of us has been chosen for this hour. Whether it's to preach, teach, or to reach, we've been chosen for this hour. But how could a man with such a definite statement? He didn't say, I feel like you're the Christ, but I've kind of wondered myself if you may be Jeff. No, Brother Irvin, he didn't doubt. He knew you're him. And how in the world could it be that a man that had such a steadfast belief that he was the Christ, 10 chapters later, tell the world, I don't know who he is. How in the world could a man that no matter where he went, no matter what was being done, he was the first that would step up and say, I'll go with you. I'll stand by. You know what I believe it was? He was no different than you and I. In his heart and in his mind, he never planned on coming under attack. He never planned on being the one that the enemy put the bull's eye on. But how many of us would agree tonight that we've been through things that we never planned on going through? And we faced things that we never planned on facing. But what happened a lot of times in those situations, we see a man fail that didn't plan on failing. We see a man make a blunder that didn't have no plans on making any blunders. Hey man, I watched him in the garden try to cut a man's head off. That man don't realize how lucky he is that Peter was a bad aim with a sword. He lost an ear when it was meant for him. I believe the Lord lost his head that night. What is that? That shows a devotion to Christ, that the man made up his mind, I want to be everything Christ wants me to be. But listen, there's some things that you can't help. Sometimes we come under attack. Sometimes we're in that bullseye of the enemy, and he purposes in our lives that I've got to find a way to destroy what God wants to do in their life. And so that night, as Peter's walking along, we throw Peter under the bus. They left more hiding somewhere. I said, they left more great men hiding somewhere. For the Bible said they all ran. Every one of them ran. Even those that would one day lay on him. Those that one day would, you know, that wouldn't even die the death of that martyr. Even John, that beloved, where's he to be found in that one moment? But finally, I know they begin to trickle back in. But I want to look more so at Peter tonight, that when we get to Matthew 26, we find that now, I believe, this is what I believe, that hell in its all had recognized God's got something for that man. God's got something for that individual. I must detour the plan of God before he fulfills it in his life. And so they begin to ask Peter. I'm just in my own paraphrasing. You're one of his. No, I don't know who he is. I don't even know this guy. How could he do that? How many of you have ever went through seasons of discouragement because you planned to go there? How many of you ever battled with the battles of anxieties because you planned to go there? How many of you ever fought the battle of bitterness because you planned to go there? Amen. None of us done it because we planned to. But there's a lot of us here tonight could raise our hands and say, but I went there. It was against my will. It was against my desire. But I found myself battling those things anyway. I don't believe Peter ever purposed in his heart to tell the world, I don't know who he is. But he found himself in a difficult place. And in that moment, he didn't know what to do. He wants the Christ, but he don't want to die. Hey, there's a lot of us tonight who recognize that. I want to go further, but I don't want to fight what I've got to fight to get there. And he begins to declare, I don't know him. But I'm going to tell you some folks, that world done knows who you are. You hear me? That world done already, they wouldn't have asked who he was if they didn't already know who he was. They already know he's one of them. They already know the group that he fellowships with. They already know the group of people that he worships with. And finally they say, your speech bereath you. In other words, when you talk, amen, when I talk tonight, you knew I didn't come from Maine, didn't you? You knew I didn't come from the Big Apple and drop down for a couple of days to preach to you. You knew he's from somewhere down there. West Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia. It's all, there ain't but about 3 places they talk like this. But that's how he was. You know, if I move off to New York, live 15 to 20 years, I may lose some of this southern slang. Because I'll begin to adapt to that environment. Some of you'd hate to think you'd had to come to a place where you'd end up saying y'all and can't name, wouldn't you? But listen, why wouldn't the enemy single somebody out that when they talked like him? When they walk like him. When they go through adversity, they go through adversity like he does. And they told Peter, "We know who you are. We want that." You know, I believe they wanted him to confess of being one of them. That wall, we look at it and we're almost intimidated by. But they want you to tell them you're one of them. They want you to confess that you're a Christian. They want you to confess that you don't give in to the pressures of the world. But sometimes it's easier to take the high road of silence than to step out on the front lines of the battlefield and say, "Yes, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm blood bought. Yes, I stand against the things of this society." It ain't fun and it ain't easy to tell them our daughters is going to marry men and our sons is going to marry women. Amen. Yeah, that's all right up here, Andy. Y'all vote like that up here too, don't you? Amen. That's how we believe down where I come from. We believe God born them boys to grow up and to love girls. Amen. I believe God born my daughters to grow up and love boys. That's why I'm trying to teach them. But it ain't easy in this society to stand for that. It's not easy in this society to be those people any longer. But if we're not careful, a lot of times silence will back you in a corner. Until you find yourself wondering, what did I just do? Why did I just do that? Amen. And you find yourself down and discouraged. Amen. But this is what I want to preach tonight. Peter was a great man. Amen. I believe Peter was a godly man. He didn't pick him to be a loudmouth. He didn't pick him to be a failure. He picked him to be powerful. He picked him to be special. He picked you and I to be who we are and who he's mentoring us to be. But when we find Peter in that place, my mind went to a story that I heard. Some of you may have heard the story. I listen to a lot of preaching. When I hear a good story, I hold on to it. Amen. If he's good enough that he can tell it, it's good enough that I can tell it. It's how I feel about it. Amen. So I heard a story told, and it was a story told about a soldier. We sung about the battlefield a little earlier, and my mind, I got to dwelling on this thing, and I come across a story of a man. Some of you may have heard him. You ever heard of a man by the name of Joseph Kapicheski? He's an Army Ranger. Amen. That already tells me a lot about him by just what they say, what position he held in the military. He's a brave man. Fear is not something that he's often give in to. You hear me? So it is that he's one of the ones that would say, "Does anybody want to go to battle today?" And that Army Ranger said, "I believe I'd be ready to go today." Amen. They go into that position wanting to be a warrior. You don't just randomly become an Army Ranger, and you don't just randomly become a powerful child of God. Amen. You become what you desire to become. Amen. I became a Christian because I wanted to. He drawed me. I understand that. But he didn't make me go to that altar that night. I went to the altar that night because I wanted to. He called me to preach, but I answered because I wanted to. Now, I didn't for a long time because I didn't want to. But I found out it was more miserable running. Amen. So I gave in. Amen. But this is what I'm trying to preach tonight. I believe it was in 2005. That's some of the most, I guess you'd say, relentless people in the earth. Those special forces. And I understand this is an Army Ranger. But I understand in every branch of the service, they've got a certain group of people within that branch that do what even those within the... Listen, I honor anybody that's put on that flag and fought for the freedom of this nation. Now listen, I love America. I thank God for everybody that's fought for my freedom. But listen, even I believe that they would tell you, as brave as a soldier is, there's still even a special group beyond that. That's what Peter was. He's inner circle, ain't he? Who got invited to the garden? Who gets invited to the mount? Who gets taken to these places? Peter does. He's special. Amen. But he's under attack. He holds a special place, but he's under attack. Let me hurry. I listen. I sometimes can preach too long, but I'm going to try to hurry. Thank God. A Army Ranger, 2005. He's in Iraq, and he's in a tank. He's on the battlefield. He's fighting for our freedom, fighting against evil. And in this story, it's told that in that Iraqi area, that a terrorist climbed up on that tank where he's at and thrown a grenade off into that tank where he was at, Brother Irvin. That grenade detonated within that tank. And as it did, it almost killed him, I'm sure. But it almost completely blew off one of Mr. Kapachewski's legs when that thing detonated. And so, but I'd like to point this out to you tonight. As I looked at this and thought about him in that place where he's wounded, and he's there in a place that he's hurt. He didn't volunteer and say, "I want to get hurt today." It came on him anyway. But can I tell you that if you volunteer for the army, you're volunteering to the risk of injury. Amen. Amen. Listen, you say somebody talked about me. You volunteered for that. Amen. Somebody spread a rumor on me. You volunteered for that. Nobody likes to hear me preach. You volunteered for that. Nobody's asking me to sing. You volunteered for that. Amen. It's more than just an outfit. It's more than just a uniform. It comes with a battle from time to time. But he's there. His leg's almost blown completely off. But he's alive. You hear me? He's almost lost a leg. But he's still alive. Amen. You said, but what's good about having your leg blown off? That it didn't blow his head off. Amen. It could have been so much worse. Listen to me tonight. Some of you are here tonight and you think, man, I'm going through a battle, preacher. I've been going through a season of things that are against what I want to go through. My heart's about to break. Anxiety's about got the best of me. Well, you ought to raise your hands while I'm preaching and thank God I survived the initial blast. The blast that was meant to kill me, it wounded me. It hurt me. It left a mark. But I did survive the blast. I'm going to tell you, there's scars on real soldiers. I stood up there about as long as I could. Amen. And I was thinking today, Brother Irvin, in the natural, soldiers with scars normally wind up with soldiers with stars. You hear me? A man that's made it through battle. A man that's made it through adversity. A man that volunteered. I don't want to go to a place where I could lose my life. But it's, if it's asked of me, I will go. I don't want to go to a place where people will turn against me. But if it's asked of me, I will go. And Kapachewski went to that place. Amen. Peter didn't want to go through what he was going through. But now he's in the heat of the battle. It's too late to turn back now. And he's broken and the bombs went off. Christ looks at him. He's reminded of the statement that Jesus made. You're going to deny me? No, I'll die with you. And he lets him know, before that cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. I've seen Peter walk away from there thinking, I thought he'd have thought more of me than that. He does. He does think that of you. Amen. That's why previous to there, he let him know, amen, that Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, that when you're converted, you'll strengthen the brethren. Amen. He does got confidence in you tonight. If he didn't, he wouldn't have let you know before the storm. The problems are coming. The storms are coming. The adversity's coming. But if you'll hang on, there's something better coming after that. There's something better coming. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked around, but you're going to have an opportunity to get back up again. And Peter's there. I believe when he's there and that rooster crows, Brother Austin, I believe he looked up. You ever, when you were small and your parents and you'd done something you knew wasn't supposed to do, and mom or daddy or grandpa or whoever looked at you, not out of anger, but out of disappointment, knowing that I asked you not to do that. They could have beat you with two trees full of sticks, and it wouldn't have hurt any worse than just the simple look of disappointment that said, I wished you hadn't have done that. Amen. You listen to me today. Sometimes it's just the thought that I didn't make him proud in my storm. Sometimes it's just the heartache of knowing I didn't handle it just the way that I felt like I should have handled it. Amen. But listen to me. If you stay on the battlefield, if you'll stay true to God, there's going to be an opportunity for a comeback. Amen. Let me go on through this story for you tonight. 14 surgeries this man has, this Army Ranger Kapacheski. And finally the story said that the doctor told him that, sorry, it's over. There's nothing else we can do. And he said, you'll never be able to walk again. Brother Irvin, you understand fully the struggle to walk, the pain of those years of struggling with that pain in those hips and that body, the struggle to walk. But for the doctor to say not only it'll be a struggle to walk, but declare to him you won't ever walk again. Amen. And can I tell you, there ought to be times in our life, amen, that it ought to stir something inside of me when the voice speaks to my heart and to my mind that tells me you won't ever preach a successful message again. You won't ever feel the anointing again. You won't ever know the joy of true worship again. It ought to stir something down deep inside of me. And this is what it said that Kapacheski told him. Doc, never say never. Never doubt the determination of a good soldier. Amen. In other words, you know what he let him know? You must not know who I am. You see me as just wounded. You see me as somebody going through a hardship. But I'm more than that. Amen. I said I'm more than that. I'm chosen. I'm handpicked by God. I'm more than just a hurting man. Some of you tonight need to understand you're more than that. You're more than a broken heart. You're more than a mistake that you're trying to get past. You're more than a mountain that you're having a hard time climbing. But you're a good soldier. And there's a determination inside of you that says, I will not accept that. And this is what he does. You know what I give you as advice? When it's getting hard, what I do, Brother Bubba, pick up that Bible and read it. Until you get tired of reading it. And when you get tired of reading it, just flip back and read it again. And when you get through with that, read it again. Amen. What am I saying tonight? They said that Mr. Kapacheski began to research on his own. He was trying to figure out, how do I beat this attack from the enemy? I don't want to be a victim of a terrorist attack. I don't want the terrorist to take away who I am and what I've given my whole life to be. I want somebody tonight to make up your mind this weekend. This weekend I declare I will overcome what I've been going through. I will put it behind me. I will allow it to be hey, sometimes we need it as motivation. And he begins to read and he asks, tells the doctor, he should, I guess, discusses this prosthetic leg thought. But I want you to understand, it's what his statement was. I want to be a soldier again. I don't want to just keep paying tithes. I don't want to just be somebody that goes to the choir and stands on the back row. I don't want to be just somebody that just passes by a pastor and shakes his hand. But in my heart, I know I'm more than that. In my heart, I know there's better for me than that. You say, but if I'm not a preacher, how can it be? Hey, so many people that are living underneath their privileges that God's called them to, not to be a missionary, not to be a preacher, but to be somebody that God could depend on in the trenches, whether it be in the prayer closet, whether it be in the prayer line. God desires you to be who He called you to be. But Kapacheski's there. He's hurting. He's wounded. And for everybody around him, accepting the fact, he's an Army Ranger. Man, he used to be a brave man. Listen, y'all. The blow of the attack took away the leg, not the heart. You hear me? What you went through troubled your mind, but it didn't take your heart. It didn't take your will. It didn't take your determination. If anything, now listen, I don't know if any of you all had been guilty of being stubborn growing up. Amen. I got to do that circle dance a lot of times in my life. Me on one end and my mom and daddy's arm on the other end, walking me in a circle, tuning me up. You know why? I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to give in to anybody. Amen. A lot of us, it beat the tar out of us growing up because we wanted to live life our way. But all it takes sometimes for the devil to say, you testify and you'll pay for it. You go to the altar and you'll pay for it. And we'll cower down at the fear of what comes next. But Kapuscinski said, I'm a soldier, and whatever I got to do is stay a soldier. That's what I want to do. I hope the heartbeat of some soldiers is gaining strength here tonight. When the devil reminds you of the blast, you remind him of crawling out of that storm still alive. Amen. You may have had to crawl out, but you got out. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I may have had to crawl out, but I did get out. Thank God for it tonight. I believe there's some of you tonight, you might be limping because of the storm, but that's just proof of a battle. That's just proof of war. But the great thing about it is I'm still here to fight the war. But he talks to the doctor about a prosthetic leg. And the doctor tells him there's only one problem. To have that prosthetic leg, we'll have to completely remove anything that's left of that leg that's been wounded. But the big problem wasn't so much removing that remainder of leg that he had. He said, but your body does not respond to pain medication and morphine. Listen, the doctor said it'd be a nightmare to be able to do that. I'll just tell you what he said for himself. Amen. This is what it said. Kapuscinski said after they told him, it'll be a nightmare to become the man you're trying to become again. Amen. How many would be willing to live the nightmare to have your power back? How many would be willing to live a nightmare? How about it, Samson? How far would you go to be able to have power in those hands again? Thank God. How about it, Peter? How far would you go to be able to stand up with power again? And can I tell you know what Peter done? When he denied Christ, it said he went out and wept bitterly. He made an altar. He recognized, I need an altar to find my strength back. You know where your strength's going to come from? You're going to make an altar somewhere. And when you make an altar, you're going to find power to get back up again. But this is what Mr. Kapuscinski said. Whatever it takes, I want to be a soldier again. You mean cut that leg off with no pain medication? Cut it off. Amen. You mean to have to grind and to do all the things that you can. You imagine the pain and the sorrow that came from that soldier screaming at the thought of, I don't know how much more of this I can take. What was his driving force? I feel like I could be a soldier again. You know what it'd do for some of us this weekend in this meeting? I don't care if it's in the night, in the morning, in the middle of the day, is to finally make up our mind and cry out to God, I'm living a nightmare, but it's worth it to be a soldier. I'm living in a storm, but it's worth it to be a soldier again. Amen. Amen. Good, and Kapuscinski, it says, went through that surgery, and it said in 2011 in Afghanistan, he became the first Army Ranger with a prosthetic leg. You know what I believe? I wonder, you know, and it'd just been great if they'd had to send that same soldier, that terrorist that climbed in that tank, had come across that desert again and recognized that's a man that I almost killed. Thank God, I'd love for the devil to walk through abundant life this week and recognize, I thought I had him. I thought I had him. I thought they were about to throw in the towel. I thought they were about to give up the fight. But all he found was, I found a way to make it back. I found a way to stand on my own again. Amen. And on the resurrection, They told him, you tell my disciples, and who? Tell my disciples and Peter, amen, that I'll meet them in Galilee. Amen. In other words, you know what Christ was saying? Peter, I know you're wounded. I know you've been hurting, but you found an altar. You found your strength again. You found your power again. Amen. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Amen. Somebody wants to come to the music. I don't like much more. Preacher, you just don't know what it feels like. No, I couldn't. I don't know that I could say I do. But I probably, Brother Austin, could look at a lot of people in this same building and say, but you don't know what it feels like what I faced either. But then if we really get down to the fact of the matter, we would surprise each other that a lot of us feel a lot the same. And we've all been there. And I'm going to be honest with you. You take a hammer, you take a stick. I don't care if you hit a man in the leg or in the arm. It hurts. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, I might not have got wounded the same way you got wounded, but it still hurt. Amen. And you might not have went through what I went through, but it still hurt. But the fact of the matter remains this, that when you've got a desire to survive and you've got a desire to live, that the same man that told him, thou art the Christ, that not 10 chapters later hardly said, I don't know who he is, that just a little while down the road, that the writer said that Peter standing with the 11, amen, that's the day of Pentecost. Amen, it might have been with scars, but it was with the authority that he said, hey, I'm one of the ones that got back up again. I'd like to tell somebody here tonight, I'm not denying the wound. I'm not denying the attack. But I'm telling you tonight, you can get back up again. Stand with me if you will. A lot of you can't see it, but on my left hand, if I raise it up, you can tell that my pointing finger don't point the same direction as most people's. You know why? I almost cut it off when I was just a boy. You can look at it and say, man, there's something happened there. There's a scar that proves that finger's been through something before. It don't point like the others point. It's got a little bit of a twist like the other ones don't have. Amen. But you know, it could have been the hand. I'd like to tell somebody tonight, you say, preacher, my mind is overwhelmed. Listen, it was meant to be worse than that. You hear me? How about it, friends in the ministry? This feels like you're climbing the rough side of the mountain. It was meant to be worse. But you survived the worst part. And that was that initial blast. You hear me? That surgery was painful. The recovery is painful. But that initial blast was the one that was meant to kill me. Amen. You hear me now? The surgery was to get me better. Amen. The rehab was to get me. It all hurts, but it was meant to get me better. But that initial blast was to kill me. That initial blast was to get you out of the ministry. That failure was to get you out of church. But thank God, just the fact that you walked across that parking lot tonight ought to be enough to lift your hands and say, hey, I made it through the worst part. I survived the worst part. And I believe I'll just get back up again. I want to be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier. There'll be folks in this house tonight that if you peeled your heart back, you'd blow my mind. But that's all right. You didn't blow his. For him that's begun a good work is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just preach on, preacher. Fight on, lay member. That one that's real quiet, that don't say a lot, that feels so unimportant, that feels like nobody knows who you are, that feels like nobody cares who you are, that feels like nobody would know if you wouldn't even around. I can tell you tonight, you've been called for a purpose. You've been chosen for a purpose, and that purpose is to be a good soldier. I know sometimes isolation hurts. I told the boy, I got you standing, man. I'm still wanting to preach. I got a young convert on my crew back home. And he's asked me in the past few days, Did I have any advice? 19-year-old, but listen, y'all. Man, at 19, I thought I had the world by the tail at 19. I figured out a little after it had me. But at 19, I didn't seem to have a care in the world. And this 19-year-old boy, Brother Irvin, asked me, did I have any advice on how to deal with bitterness? 19-year-old boy that the enemy's recognized. I'm going to get him before he ever gets a chance to be anything special. I watched him pray through to salvation a year or two ago in a meeting at Brother Joseph Cochran's church. But he's asking what I do. You know what I recognize? He's under a battle. But you know what I liked? Just the mere fact of asking for help to get out of it lets me know you survived the storm. You survived the blast. It was all you already meant to be dead. But you made it. I'd like to ask you tonight, how many of us tonight be willing to confess? Not, you don't got to vote by the raising of hands. But how many would meet us in this altar tonight and let God know, God, whatever it takes, I want to be a soldier again. Amen. I don't know if you got a calling, and that don't much matter, no matter to me here nor there, who you are and what you deal with. Not out of compassion, but I don't rate one no more important than I do another. But I believe in this house tonight are hearts that's trying to find out, how do I get out of this? How do I survive? Look what I went through. Amen. Kapuscinski didn't say, I want to be able to make it back home again. He said, I want to go back and fight again. I want to go back and do what I was meant to do again. Who wants to be a soldier? Would you meet me tonight? Everybody that can and will, would you find a place and pray? Let him know, whatever it takes, God. Whatever I got to do, I want to be a soldier again. I want to have my strength back again. Everybody that can and will, would you pray tonight? Oh, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth